May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 121. Jesus, in thee our eyes behold 1,000 glories more than the rich gems and polished gold the sons of Aaron wore. Hymn 121.
Amen. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the Gospel of Luke, reading part of chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us now to pray. O thou most gracious, almighty and eternal God, help and teach us, Lord, now how to pray, that our prayers may be acceptable before thee, and our petitions may be in accordance with thy will. We plead, Lord, the precious name of Jesus, thy beloved Son. For only, Lord, in him can we be found accepted. Accepted in Christ, the Beloved One. Thy beloved Son, now with thee in glory, till all his enemies to be made his footstool. O Lord, we pray that we be not amongst the enemies of Christ. For left to ourselves, Lord, ruled by our own spirit, influenced by Satan, we say we will not have this man to rule over us. We desire our own ways, our own thoughts, the things, Lord, that emanate from our hearts. And from those things we defile ourselves, as thy word says. But, O Lord, we earnestly pray, thou wilt accept us in Christ, the Beloved One. Lord, that thou, through the teaching and influence of thy Spirit, thou must make us one with Jesus, eternally one. All our sins blotted out as a thick cloud, to be remembered no more. Lord, to be cleansed in that fountain, open for sin and uncleanness. And so through Christ to be made acceptable in thy sight. Lord, do see of the travail of his soul, and be thou satisfied. And so, Lord, draw us to thee this night. Make one in our midst. Lord, may we be gathered together this night in the name of Jesus and fulfill that gracious promise. There am I in the midst of them. Lord, be the glory in our midst this night, for we desire determined not to seek anything amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. O Lord, do make that precious sacrifice for sin precious to our own souls. Draw us humbly, Lord, to the footstool of thy mercy, there to obtain mercy. And Lord, that place which is also termed the throne of grace, where we may also obtain grace to help in the time of our need. And Lord, we have a need this night to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Come therefore, Lord, and rule our hearts. Separate us from all things that are just carnal. Carnal cares, vain thoughts, vain desires. Those things, Lord, that can so easily crowd in to our minds as we sit in the quietness of thy house. Lord, deliver us from distracting thoughts. And Lord, by faith, that precious gift of thy Spirit, Lord, do give us a sweet view of Jesus, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. And, O Lord, for each of us here, may we know, Lord, in this our earthly life, that it was for me. It was for me that he hung and suffered there. So, Lord, enable us to view a precious Jesus, that we may be lost in wonder, love, and praise. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon thy word that we have read this night. The various things, Lord, that are recorded there concerning Jesus. Lord, may thy word not return to thee void. Lord, speak to us each through it. Lord, may it accomplish that which thou doth please. May it ever prosper in the things to which thou doth send it. Lord, may there be a purpose for our gathering together here this night around thy holy word. And Lord, as we come, to the preaching of the gospel, may the words of these my lips be found acceptable in thy sight and the meditation of my heart. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And Lord, may the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable before thee, the Lord our strength and our Redeemer. Thou knowest, Lord, how we've come here tonight. Lord, if for any have just come formally, perhaps under constraint, Lord, just out of habit and practice, O Lord, do stir up those cold hearts and make them soft. Lord, do speak thy word in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, convince of sin, and lead to Jesus' blood. Those, Lord, who've come seeking a portion for their soul, Lord, do not send them empty away. May thy word again be in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, to assure that conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Lord, if any have come, tried and tempted through the circumstances of life, trials of their faith, perhaps, Lord, thinking that seemingly thou hast forgotten them and forsaken them and left them, Lord, to the power of evil and of Satan. Lord, do hear their cry. Lord, there's those cries in the scripture, those short, urgent cries of, Lord, help me. And Lord, we read that answer to those that call upon thee in the time of their trouble. Fear not, I will help thee. Lord, so help those that have need of thee this night, in whatever their trial or circumstance. Remember the children and bless them. Remember the little ones. Oh Lord, we commend them to thee. Watch over them as they grow and their faculties develop. May they grow in health and strength, and in wisdom and stature. And in due course, Lord, come to love the things of the truth as it is in Jesus. O Lord, draw them to thyself, put thy hands upon them to bless them, thine arms about them to keep them. And Lord, as they get older, we pray, Lord, for the older children. Help them in school and on the holiday from school. Lord, in their education, wherever that may take place. Oh, Lord, do bless them abundantly. Lord, may they not only learn of things needful for daily life. Lord, may they learn those things that are needful for eternal life. Lord, bless them with that desire to know more and more of the things of Jesus. And grant, Lord, the knowledge of thy blessing. Lord, the knowledge of the soul's salvation unto each one of those young souls. And the young people, Lord, remember them growing up into adulthood, taking on new responsibilities, higher education, in friendships, locations, vocations of life. Lord, all the many choices that have to be made. Lord, keep them in the way that they shall go. Do guide them with thine eye. Lord, may they be amongst those that call upon thee for thy mercy, for the forgiveness of their sins. And Lord, to grant answers to those cries. Give me Christ, or else I die. And lead them forth, Lord, by the right way. Lord, that they may go in due time to that city of habitation, a place prepared for them in the heavens. Lord, make them true witnesses of thy grace, of thy mercy. And Lord, give them that strength to testify of it. Lord, those, Lord, any of us, whatever our age, oh, we pray the same prayer. Lord, we read of those that feared thee, that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. Oh, Lord, help us to speak well of thee, in of concerning all things of our daily life, acknowledging thy good hand and thy mercy upon us, thy deliverances, thy provisions, and thy keeping from the power of evil. O Lord, we commit our way unto thee. Give us the faith to ever trust in thee, and bring to pass, Lord, all that is for our eternal good. Lord, remember those of older age who feel weakness of body and maybe of mind. Thou knowest those that are thine. Lord, give them strength for sufficient for each day. And when the grasshopper, the small things of life become a burden, may they know, Lord, their burden rolled upon thee, that unseen guest ever at hand, to strengthen, support, provide for them, and above all confirm that they are thine, eternally thine. Lord, bless thy people here, help the deacons in all that they undertake to do. And Lord, the church members, Lord, you grant that unity of thy spirit and the bond of thy peace. In their prayerful exercises, Lord, do help them, and Lord, grant answers to their prayers. O Lord, could it be thy will, appoint one that would be an under-shepherd, Lord, for them. Lord, one that cares for their souls and labours amongst them. And Lord, to bear be to them there to be fruit to those labours. Remember any, Lord, that have specific needs and certain needs and deliverances in their circumstances of life. Remember those who have sicknesses. Lord, remember those that all have great dependence upon thee, Lord, for healing. O Lord, we do commend them to thee, and pray, Lord, thy healing touch may be known. We thank thee where there have been deliverances from sicknesses. Lord, those threatening things that come upon us, Lord, from time to time, and will ever threaten our strength and the life of our bodies. But Lord, in these things, Lord, cause that heart and mind and the eyes to be lifted up by faith unto thee. For in thee is the life of the soul, that nothing can touch and nothing can take away. Lord, be the helper of all those that call upon thee, and sanctify the times of difficulties, troubles and fears. Lord, we lay these things before thee. Bless the ministry of thy word here, through all that are engaged to preach. Ever make them messengers in thy message. So, Lord, may there be a thus saith the Lord this night. Help us in the singing of thy worthy praises. For we ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 931. Paschal Lamb, by God appointed, loads of sin on thee were laid. By almighty love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. All thy people are forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made 'twixt man and God. Hymn 931.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord, that he may open up to us the truth contained in his holy and sacred word, and make it profitable unto our souls. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the last two verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, from which we read. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. These last two verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This is a well-known portion concerning Martha. Now there's no doubt about it, Martha was one whom Jesus loved. We read that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, their brother. That love, dear friends, was spiritual. We read sometimes, don't we, abominable things. What man has written concerning Jesus and that love he had to Mary Magdalene. You young people have nothing to do with those terrible accounts. The Lord Jesus was not sent to love in that respect, to have earthly wives and to have earthly children. He was sent for his spiritual church, all those that the Father had given unto him, and that they may be brought forth through his suffering and through his death, spiritual children, sons of God. Whether they are man or woman upon this earth, children, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Oh, what a precious, precious work is the work of Christ. Not to be lessened or made light of in earthly terms. Now Jesus loved Martha. He loved the soul of Martha. And through that love of Christ for her, she had that love drawn unto Jesus. But on this account here, we read that Martha, knowing Jesus was near, received him into her house. That's an act of love, isn't it? Desiring Jesus to be present with her and those of her household. Oh, dear friends, I do hope, you know, that our prayers often ask the Lord Jesus to come and be present with us in our homes. Yes, in all things that concern us, wherever we have to go. There's nothing sweeter nor precious to a needy soul than to know our Lord is with us and to help us throughout all the stages and circumstances of our lives. Now Martha received Jesus into her house. Now I want to preach simply. Because the things of Jesus, the precious truth of the gospel, there's a simplicity in the love of Christ. And when we read Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, which is the preaching of Paul unto the church at Antioch in Pisidia, oh, the simplicity of that preached sermon. But oh, the power of the Spirit, the power of God, to attend that word. Now dear friend, that's what I desire, and I trust you do tonight. That it's not my words alone that you hear, but the truth of the gospel received in the power of the Spirit within your heart and soul. Martha received Jesus into her house. And of course the intent would be that she would provide for them in the way of food, nourishment, and perhaps some shelter. But as Jesus entered in, he began to speak. He began to preach. He began to speak as he was wont to the kingdom of God. And we read that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now notice that little word also in verse 39. That Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That could well mean that that was the place of Martha also, drawn to the truth as it is in Jesus and the precious things of the salvation of their soul. But on this occasion, Martha was cumbered about with much service. Perhaps she began sitting at Jesus' feet. We have to be careful we don't add to the scriptures. But there was those things which were needful to be done. There was those things necessary in the entertainment, the catering, the provision for those who'd come into her house. And dear friends, there was nothing wrong in tending to them. They were things that had to be done. But it was the Spirit in Martha that brought her into a low place. It was the Spirit in Martha, dear friends, that caused her to speak words that she should not have said. Or how she came to complain. How she came to be troubled that she was serving alone. How she criticized her sister Mary, who was sitting at Jesus' feet. The Spirit was in her that she was busy. She had a lot of work to do. She needed help. And dear friends, isn't that Spirit in us so often? So easy to complain when we do not think things are made as easy as they could be for us. People unwilling to help us. No matter what our age, particularly when we're young, and perhaps brothers and sisters, and they're not helping in the way that what we are doing, and we complain. Dear friends, we should not complain. You don't know what that brother or sister may be doing. You don't know what the exercise is in their heart. Oh, we should pray for them, shouldn't we? That whatever be their state or case, that the Lord may bless them. But this was not the spirit in Martha. She was full of self-will. She was full of her own selfish spirit. And dear friends, and that was a hindrance. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Yes, these things came upon her that she must do. And there's another point of teaching here for us, isn't there? How often are we cumbered about, hindered, distracted, as that word cumbered also means. Distracted from the things of Jesus, from the things of worship, from the things of the soul, by much serving. We have our busy scenes of life, don't we? And they seem to be much busier today, perhaps, than they ever have been. Our times are filled with one needful thing, one necessary thing as we perceive, earthly things. Yes, we do need to go to work. We do need the responsibilities at home. We do need to go to school or be educated. We do need many things. We do need to have our food and our drink, which have to be prepared. There are many, many, many earthly needs. But do they ever become a distraction from the things of our soul, the needs of our soul? How easy it is, isn't it, to set aside the word of God and to take up something else which is pressing in an earthly sense. How much easier it is to pick up that other publication, whether it's a newspaper, a magazine, or perhaps what we would call a good book. But what an interesting account perhaps of someone's life and so on, rather than read the word of God. And the truth as it is in Jesus. So many things, isn't there? I'm sure you can put your own aspect to it. In the way we are much cumbered about with much serving. And perhaps at times there a decision has to be made. Oh, the worship of God. The house of God. The time set aside for worship. The time appointed for it, or for prayer. And there's that other matter. Oh, can that other matter wait? And dear friends, so often we, perhaps when we are, yes, left to our own spirit, we choose the earthly option as an excuse, as a reason for not doing that which is more profitable for the soul. Dear friends, I'm not judging. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. You know, the preacher needs the expounding of the word of God as much as those to whom he preaches. How easily we are in our own spirit cumbered about with much serving. And being cumbered about, we complain, perhaps, because of things that trouble us. Things that are not right with us in the pathway of life. And poor Martha was left to say this, Lord, dost thou not care? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Dear friends, that wasn't the reason why Jesus came upon this earth. That wasn't the purpose of his coming, to ease the earthly burden of tasks for which we must do. Oh no, the actual judgment of God upon us on account of sin, as we read at the very beginning of the word, is we must labour. Man shall eat bread by the sweat of his face. We must labour. We must do those things. And dear friends, we mustn't complain when the labouring to do, to bring to pass those things is hard. That's our earthly nature complaining, isn't it? And oh, how low our spirit can get. Lord, carest thou not regarding these things? Carest thou not for me? Or that these things are heavy for me? Bid someone to help me. Has not the Lord himself promised to be your helper in all things? Dear friends, that's the spirit, isn't it? Lord, this is my burden. This burden is too hard for me. Lord, help me. For him to supply the need, by whatever need that is, not to complain. Our late friend, Mr. Ralph Warboys, often said that was the best tool he had in his toolbox. Lord, help me. It's the right spirit, isn't it? But poor Martha was left to complain. And our text is Jesus' answer to her, his rebuke, his loving rebuke. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Dear friends, how we, in our own selves, are so much like Martha, aren't we? We are careful and troubled about many things, earthly things. And perhaps we pray to the Lord to be delivered in the midst of these troublous things. As if they, these troubles and these things which oppress us in our earthly life, are the things that really matter. That the taking of them away, the overcoming of them, will bring our souls and our hearts into ease and benefits and joy and satisfaction and contentment. Dear friends, those who seek for contentment and joy alone in earthly things, you know, we find they're never satisfied. Oh, we hear of many, don't we, who come into a great riches, perhaps through the dreadful things of gambling and lottery and those sort of things. Oh, the Lord keep us from those sore temptations. The temptations that arise because of our own heart, in league with those things, believing that if we have all that riches, we shall be able to deliver ourselves and pay ourselves out of all troubles and give ourselves a happy and a contented life. Oh, the heart, how deceitful it is above all things and desperately wicked. Dear friends, this is us, this is you, this is me by nature. Just as Martha. And her prayer, carest thou not? Bid her therefore that she help me, this Mary. Dear friends, the Lord didn't come to bid his people to do those things. The bidding of the Lord was through his grace and his mercy unto them, that in those whom he loved with loving kindness, he would draw them through the power of his word. He would bid them, come unto him, come all ye that are laboured and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. Now that's not the labour of Martha, is it? That's the labour of the soul, that's the bidding that the Lord Jesus, through his precious word, those gracious gospel invitations to those that feel the need of him, the power of that mercy and grace to deliver them from the power of sin. Now surely these were the words that fell from the Saviour's lips. Words of his mercy, words of his truth, words of his grace. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. What a hindrance it was to her from sitting at the Saviour's feet. And so, dear friends, you and I find it, don't we, with our own selves. No matter what our age, there's so many things to be attended to in our earthly lives that we do not come and seek, as we should, for our soul's salvation. So Martha was taught a lesson from the lips of the Saviour. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, many needful things, many rightful things concerning the body. But one thing is needful. That is the thing concerning the soul. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary had left at the duties, the responsibilities that really rightly fell to her in a natural sense to help her sister Martha. She was drawn to those more precious things, the precious things of her soul. And dear friends, under the influence of the Spirit of God, one is drawn there, isn't they? Drawn whenever one can. Oh, to receive of the word of God. What a prayerful desire that is in those who are taught of the Spirit of God. The prayer of the psalmist was, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Or when we're overtaken with earthly things. Dear friends, how he tends to shut up our ears, doesn't it? Blind our eyes, harden our hearts. Like that inn in Bethlehem, there's no room for the coming of Jesus. That one thing needful. One thing is needful. Dear friends, the things of this life which we give our time and attention to, they are needful, yes, for our bodies. But they don't supply anything good for our soul. And the things of this life are temporal. One day we shall have to leave them all behind. They'll be remembered no more. And oh, that solemn state, I was going to say, that is before us. Where time is no more. There is just eternity. Time as we know it today would be like it stands still. Never advances, never goes back. That time where there's eternal death or eternal life. Dear friends, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And our end in that state is eternal death. And all the solemn things that are described in Scripture regarding those that go thereat. Many, it says, many shall go thereat. Many in that broad way, left to just the things of this world, just the things of our nature, of earthly nature, ruled by Satan, ruled by sin, our earthly hearts, going in at that wide gate that leads unto destruction. Where there's that lake of fire and the worm, one's feelings, as it were, never die. Weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. Dear friends, these are not my words, they're the words of Scripture. And that's before us each. If we die in trespasses and in sins, as we are born in trespasses and in sins, there's been no change. No change. But what a mercy. There's a people whom Jesus loves. It is only through the love of Christ that we could have any hope of deliverance from the wrath of God for sin. That love which never fails, a love that is began in eternity past, and those souls were given unto Christ, chosen in him before the world began. And dear friends, when Christ came, he bore the sins of all those that the Father gave him, that they may be made acceptable in that last day before the Father's face, that they may be without blot, without blemish, without sin, without any transgression. The sentence goes out to them, thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee. Now this was the desire of Mary. Dear friends, it was also the desire of Martha, I believe, but at this time she was cumbered about with much serving. Oh, how we have to pray earnestly, don't we, Lord? Let me leave those things, let me have them in their right place. Lord, come and draw me to thy feet, that I may hear thy voice to the profit of my soul. Is there some of you here like that tonight? You know, dear friends, if you're like that, with that longing desire to hear the Lord's voice, oh, what a sweet promise there is, what a sweet word there is in the word of Moses to the people, the Lord's people, who had he brought out of Egypt and on the brink of the promised land. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. That was the blessing of the Spirit of God, wasn't it? That Spirit that is given unto his people, sent to deliver them from nature's darkness, deliver them from satisfaction of earthly things. That Spirit that reveals in them, oh, their sinful nature, and puts within them that desire for forgiveness of sins. How they tremble at the word of God. But dear friends, this is the evidence of those who are loved with an everlasting love. And it's with loving kindness the Lord draws you. All his saints, he calls them saints. You don't feel to be saints, do you? You feel to be the chiefest of sinners. But through the love of Christ unto your soul, who bears those iniquities, carries them as he has done to Calvary, though him who has paid the price demanded under the law, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Only through his blood, holy, pure, innocent, undefiled, standing in the place of sinners, receiving that due punishment instead, his death, laying down his life. That the payment of sin should be paid, the price of redemption, that all those for whom he died may go free out of the bondage of sin into the liberty of the grace of God, called out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, to see, to know the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, that's the revelation we need, isn't it? And oh, the words of God, the word of Christ, the word of the gospel, to be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Oh, this blessed Spirit that was in Mary. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. There's nothing else. Nothing else, dear soul, to save you from eternal death. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, it shall not be taken away from her. Dear friends, what was this part that Mary had chosen? What made her choose it? Well, it was this drawing, wasn't it? In love, in the love of Christ to her, therefore she had that drawing in love to him. There was a greater love here than any earthly loves. It was a love divine, all love excelling. It was the joy of heaven to earth come down and fixed in her, that humble dwelling. And she could not be removed from it. Dear friends, we often find Mary at Jesus' feet, don't we? We read later on in John's Gospel where there was another a feast in Bethany. Martha served. She wasn't complaining then. Oh, Martha, the love of the Lord through that which she'd passed through, the loss of her brother and the restoring to life of him. All the power and the mercy and the love of Christ to her and to Mary. And Mary at that time, dear friends, was at Jesus' feet, washing his feet with tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head, anointing them with that precious ointment. And how she was criticized, even by the disciples of Jesus. Oh, this ointment, it could have been sold for many pence and given to the poor. Jesus said, let her alone. Against my burying hath she done this. Oh, the faith, the given unto Mary. To see that in Christ, that which was to take place, which yet hadn't taken place, but faith to see that he was to die, even for her sins. And she mourned after him, in love, because of his love for her. That he should come and suffer, bleed and die upon this earth, to take away her sin. That was the one thing needful. Oh, without that precious work of Christ, dear friends, we're without hope, aren't we? We're of all men most miserable here upon earth, knowing that terrible judgment and eternal death awaits us. But in Christ, through that which he performed on Calvary, there is hope. Hope of eternal life. Oh, we think of the witness of the Apostle Paul. He was a wicked man, a Saul of Tarsus, wasn't he? But this was his testimony, which he wrote unto the Galatians, concerning Christ. He who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, is that your testimony tonight? That's the one thing needful, isn't it? To know our Jesus crucified. To by far excel all things beside. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Dear friends, you know that love of Christ to your soul. When that love is drawn out by the Spirit of Christ unto him. It becomes the object of your first desire. That's the new birth, isn't it? Be born of the Spirit, born of God. Dear friends, these are the one thing needful. And dear friends, this is the thing which Christ said we should rejoice over. Oh, we read, didn't we, earlier in this chapter, concerning those 70 who returned having preached the kingdom of heaven to the various places. And they came with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devils are subject unto us. And they rejoiced in that work the Lord had given them to do. What a wonderful work it was. And oh, the power that was given. Dear friends, what a wonderful thing it would be today, wouldn't it? If such power was given in the preaching of the gospel over the devils, over the evilness and over the wickedness in this world, and many sinners were called and came, taught by the Spirit, to know the precious redeeming power of the blood of Jesus. Now Jesus says, rejoice not, in that the Spirit's a subject unto you. That's something, that work which is done upon this earth through the means of the preaching of the gospel. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Dear friends, all the preaching of the gospel of me or any other servant the Lord has sent forth won't get me to heaven. We've done that which is our duty to do. We're unprofitable servants. Nothing that you will do upon this earth, good as it is, needful as it is, necessary as it is, in obedience to the word of God that it is, nothing that is of yourself will get you to heaven. It's a solemn word, isn't it? And how many are depending upon their own works? A bed too short, a covering too narrow. See, friends, how easily it can be with us, attending the house of God amongst his people, seeking to do that which is right in accordance with the written word. Dear friends, our religion becomes legal. And yet we can be so satisfied with it, dependent upon our own goodness as we perceive it. But the word of Jesus was this: accept your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one righteousness that exceeds that righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and that's the righteousness through Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for sin, removed all the guilt and all that which is demanded by the law. And that suffering, that death, that price for sin, that there is all put away. Nothing of sin, not a taint of sin is left in the sinner's soul for whom Christ hath died. And dear friends, through that love, that redeeming love, what is left is his righteousness. A robe which he gives, as the scripture describes it, to all those whom he died. He made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, dear friends, that righteousness, how is it gained? Submission. Confession of sin. Pleading that blood of Jesus Christ. Paul writes of those Jews, his own kinsfolk, who had a zeal for God, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted to the righteousness of Christ. Submission. Oh, is that our prayer? Lord, make me submissive to the work of Christ. Give me that faith to believe on him. Oh, may the truth as it is in Jesus be the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Nothing in my hand I bring, as the hymn writer puts it. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, that's where Mary came, wasn't it? Chosen that good part, the things of Jesus, which shall not be taken away from her. Dear friends, there'll be many things to try. You know, when we come to that blessed sacred spot of our pardon sealed and peace with God, we shall find Satan the greater foe than he ever has been, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And in this world we shall have tribulation. There will be those things which try our faith. There will be those things that hinder us and come against us. But dear friends, as that sweet promises of God in his holy word. I tried to preach from one this morning to my own people in Isaiah 49. Yet I will not forget thee. I will not forget thee. And it goes on, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are ever before me. There's testifying of the sufferings of Christ, isn't it? His names of his people given to him of the Father are ever with him. They're graven upon the palms of his hands, those sufferings, those wounds that he'd received in the house of his friends, who bore all their sins. And their walls are ever before him. That place of their habitation where they now dwell within the walls of salvation. Dear friends, it's ever before God. Ever before Christ, seeing of the travail of his soul, he's satisfied. That's where his people dwell. And no one can get at them. No matter what Satan may tempt and try you. No matter what difficulties may come, disappointments and sorrows. Loved with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's your eternal habitation. There's your eternal salvation. There's your hope, built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. None shall ever pluck thee out of my hand. None shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, one thing is needful. Dear friends, what a great almighty thing this is, isn't it? The love of Christ for your soul. Can you live without the knowledge of it? Dear friends, our heart can be so hard, can't it? Unconcerned can look upon eternal misery. Oh, the Lord, deliver us from being cumbered about with all the things of this earth, the things of this life. Yes, they have to be attended to. But oh, may we see Christ to be in it all. I was referring once more, as I close, to that testimony of Paul to the Galatians. Through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sure foundation. I am crucified with Christ. Dear friends, that crucifixion of Christ, it has effect upon your heart. He says, goes on to say how he's crucified unto this world. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith, who hath loved us and given himself for us. O Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, aren't we? But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. No, dear friends, it will only ever be increased within her, that love of Christ for her soul. And when Mary, yes, and Martha, whom Jesus loved, and Lazarus, and all those whom the Lord loved, when they come to the end of life's journey, they enter into the joy of their Lord, into the fullness of that love, into the bosom of Christ, to be with him forevermore. Paul said concerning love or charity as it's described. Now abideth three things. These three. Faith, hope, charity. The greatest of these is charity. Why is that? My dear friends, they are all great things. Faith and hope, which is given to the sinner's soul through the blessed teaching of the Spirit. Faith in Christ, hope in Christ, that good hope through the grace of Christ of eternal life, who said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. But it's all founded on that love. And when we die and are going carried into glory through this love of Christ, we shan't need faith anymore, shall we? We shall see him exactly as we have seen. We shan't need hope anymore, because there's the realization of the truth and of the precious promises. But that love, that will only grow, and we shall only experience it in all its fullness, not for a time, but forevermore. The greatest of these is love. He who loved me and gave himself for me, the one thing needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The Lord grant to each of you the knowledge of that love. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £694.90, for which we are very thankful. God willing, our friend Mr. Hadley will preach again on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day we expect Mr. Richard Field, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Monday, the 4th of November. Let us close with hymn 858. Backsliding souls, return to God. Your faithful God is gracious still. Leave the false ways ye long have tread, long have trod, for God will your backslidings heal. Hymn 858.
Thank you.
we humbly pray thou wilt rule in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, rebuke us like Martha needed that rebuke. Thou didst rebuke her because thou didst love her, and thou didst turn her to the truth, that one thing is needful above all other things. Lord, so keep us in that frame, ruled within by thy Spirit, ever considering Christ, who endured the cross, despising the shame, that he who loved us gave himself for us. Lord, let this truth reside and abide deep within our hearts, for that alone can do us good. Watch over us as we separate. Lord, take us safely to our homes. Keep us safe from that threatened storm that is threatened for this evening and this night. And Lord, watch over us through the pathway of life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen.